I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, BT and Sal back on the Fan. You know, from a Yankees perspective, everything was distorted for a long time. I mean, it really was. Everything seemed easy. It's not, okay? So the expectation was a championship, and I have no problem with that. That's where the bar should be for the Yankees. But reality was evaporating over time. It just wasn't. Like, even years where, you know, you just knew, this Yankees roster ain't it. You know, you just knew it. You just inherently knew it. You saw it. You watched it play itself out over the course of, you know, 5-6 months of baseball. But yet, because there was so much success, Yankee fans would conjure up this almost this false energy and false conviction. Oh, yeah, with the Yankees, we could win. All right. So that's obviously, that's gone. That's not the case anymore. Now it's met with more cynicism, which is also fair. The thing that I think is going to be most lamentable, if that's even a word, lamentable, it sounds like it is, you know what I mean, if the Yankees don't perform well in October, is that, I mean, they have been gifted the best player that we've ever seen. You and I both said that in Judge. Soto, who's Soto, and Gerrit Cole, who, yeah, by the way, looks back to be like being like Gerrit Cole. Man, and that's going to be tough. It's like one thing if you fall because Severino doesn't get the job done back in the day, or Pineda gets suspended, like that, whatever. Or Brent Gardner's not good enough. No disrespect, I love Brent. But when you have this trio leading the way, Sal, Cashman, it's going to be unavoidable. If they don't play well in October, he is going to get destroyed.
But he's been getting destroyed anyway.
More.
How much more could it be?
I don't know, but it's going to be more.
People lined up last year at the stadium saying, bringing fire Cashman signs and all that.
Then more people will do that. And I'm not advocating that, but you know what I mean? It will be more intense.
I just don't, like, the Yankees aren't going to change anything. And, you know, they've already, to me, it can't even get any worse. We've all, for years, already said that the Yankees should have made a change or whatever, could have made a change, even if not just based on performance, but because it's time to make a change. Also, this year, and look, Cashman said it to you flat out when we had him on. He thought it was laughable that you would say he didn't do enough, and he would point out then, well, they have Aaron Judge, the best player in the sport. They went and got Juan Soto, maybe the second best player in the sport. They went out and got Gerrit Cole, you know, arguably the best pitcher in the sport. Like, they have as good a chance as anybody. And you look around Major League Baseball, the record is as good as anybody. So, I mean, we could nitpick and call out flaws with this team, and I do see them. And until they get it done in the postseason, sure. But I can't look at the team. I mean, look at some of the other teams in town. I'd rather be the Yankees than I would the Mets. And that's what David Stearns, who I think is a good GM, you know, as well, and has the potential to be a good GM, but... I just can't knock Cashman for giving his fans this type of roster. Now, you could say, did they do enough to be leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else? Maybe not. And I don't think that they've played up to their standards. I certainly don't think they've been consistent all year long.
Yeah.
But I'm not putting the blame on Cashman. I'll put it more on the players, if anything else.
Listen. I used the word referendum earlier, first hour. Like, I don't want to turn this into a referendum on Cashman. Yeah. Yankees have a ton of wins. We'll see how this plays out. I'm just trying to point that again. Like, you know, it would be, I think it would be the toughest to any shortcomings or October implosions or no shows. This would be, you know, outside of the broken bat base hit against Mo and the 0-3 World Series where the Yankees just got beat by a young Marlins team. I think this would be the biggest October disappointment for me. I really do. And the Red Sox collapse, of course.
Maybe because I'm not expecting it.
Well, yeah.
It wouldn't be that disappointing.
All right, I mean, maybe that's a good way to look at it. And I'm not expecting it either. I'm just trying to add context. Like, and I know it's not basketball. If you have LeBron, you're going to win. If you have Kobe and Shaq, you're going to win. I know it's a different monster. It's a different dynamic. But, man, when you trot out Judge and Soto and Cole and the other stuff we still question, it's not a good look.
Well, I didn't think they did enough in the offseason. And then again at the deadline, I didn't think they did enough. My issue with the deadline is, okay, well, what would I have wanted them to do. I think the deep issues with the Yankees that needed to be fixed in the offseason. Moving on from Giancarlo Stanton, I would have gotten a new closer at that particular point. At the deadline, I'm not so sure that there was a move or two moves that could have been made that would have put the Yankees over the top. I mean, could they have taken on Blake Snell? Sure, but I don't think that that wouldn't have fixed their closer issue. That wouldn't have changed the lineup significantly. That, like, we at the time were talking about they needed three or four guys or two or three guys in that lineup. Those, to me, the Yankees' issues could not be fixed at the trade deadline. So I can't get on Cashman for the deadline. I can say that in the offseason, I don't think he did enough to change what I think is foundationally wrong with this ball
game. All right.
Whether that's Glaber, whether it's Stanton.
DJ.
Yeah, I know.
We definitely had those conversations, no doubt. Before we get back to the phones, and we'll get to the Mets stuff in a little bit, 888-808-1019, Daniel Jones later, BT and Sal on the Fan. So, you brought up the way the Stearns and the Cashman, Yankees, Mets. Forget about the Mets for a second. Who's a better run team right now, the Yankees or the Knicks?
I think the Knicks are the best team in town.
Who's a better? I agree. Who's a more well-run team right now, the Yankees or the Rangers? I think it's the Rangers.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, so
I mean, they have their own issues, but yeah,
I know they're not perfect. Understood. Yeah. But
and by the way, the Rangers are doing close to what the Yankees have done for 30 plus years, making the postseason consistently every year, giving it their best shot, but ultimately falling short. Like, that's what the Yankees do.
Yeah, but the Rangers are outside of the Devils' ouster was embarrassing after you were up a couple of games. I mean, that can't happen. But outside of that, that's more the anomaly. Like, the Rangers have been going further and deeper. And
the Yankees were doing ALCS a couple years ago.
I get that. But the Rangers were, a step away from getting to the Cup Finals this year. The team that beat them won the Cup.
You know what I think it is? The expectation.
And the Yankees didn't make the playoffs last year.
I know, but I think it's the expectation because the Rangers... Not that they're not expected, especially now. Like, now it is cup or bust, basically, for them, as it's been, let's say, the last couple years. But they kind of have been building this thing towards this, and now they're in the midst of this run, whereas the Yankees, the expectation is always World Series. So it's like, yeah, great, you made it to an ALCS, but you got swept. Does that even really count? Like, they're just held to, unfair or not, such a higher standard. I don't think that it's unfair to say that the Yankees might be as well, or if not better run, than the Rangers.
Okay, now... Let me ask you this. When we say that the Yankees are held to a higher standard, well, it's the Yankees, understood, but is it because it's louder? Now, hockey fans are amazing, but I'm just throwing out round numbers. I could be woefully off on this. If you have 1 million Yankee fans, what do you have? 300,000 Ranger fans?
Right.
It's a big disparity. So the volume of complaints will be much more felt and energized with the Yankees. Like, if the Rangers next year... And flip that. If the Rangers had 1 million fans, and again, Ranger fans are amazing, but if they had 1 million, the Yankees had 300,000, and the Rangers stumble or don't make the playoffs, and forget about losing in the conference finals, and they get bumped to the first round, I mean, Ranger fans are going to be out of their minds.
Right. I'm not sure.
Meaning, just because it's louder with the Yankees doesn't mean that the Rangers would be... that it would be acceptable for the Rangers to follow the same path recently as the Yankees. Like, it's just not as the vitriol, it's just a different energy. We don't spend 7 months complaining about the Rangers.
Right.
We spend 7 months doing the Yankee stuff, if not 12 months.
Right, but I think that they're similar. And both right now, where if the Rangers don't win a Stanley Cup next year or the year after, it's going to be a major disappointment. And that's the same thing with the World Series for the Yankees.
But which one will be louder? That's my point. It's going to be the Yankees.
Yeah, well, I mean...
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But only because of we talk more about baseball here, and the Yankees are obviously a larger fan base.
Let's get, how about Eric in Rivervale? Eric, what's happening, bud? How are you?
I'm well, thank you, BT. Sal, how we doing, guys?
Good. What's up, Eric?
All good.
Oh, man, it's Clay Holmes. I mean, I think the show has been great, guys, and while I've been on hold, I've got about seven different directions I can go, but what I thought was really interesting is you guys brought up a question is who's right behind Clay Holmes with the most blown saves, and it's actually really interesting if you look at some of the data. And I'm not going to bore you with it, but it is Jalen Beeks and then followed by Ryan Presley with 8 and 7 each. But they don't even come close to the number of opportunities that Clay Holmes has had.
Yeah, so also, what's their ERA? What's their ERA in comparison?
I didn't look, so yeah, I don't know.
It's not as good. Holmes
is
2.88 ERA. I was looking at the other guys. Actually, I think I have it right here. 4.31 for Beeks, and Presley's 3.86. Even Craig Kimbrell, 3.89 ERA. I mean... Holmes with a 2.88 ERA. I mean, that's why he was an all-star. He's good. And That would tell you that he's better than it seems with the 10 blown saves. So my issue is not that he's not a good relief pitcher or potentially even a good closer. It's just that I would not trust him to close out big games in big spots. And he hasn't been able to get it done in the regular season the majority of the time.
Well, that's the problem, right? And I was the same as probably every other Yankee fan last night when the game's 1-0 and he gets the ball in the ninth. I'm shaking in my boots like everybody else. So I think the question becomes, and BT, you kind of hit it, is what is the solution? I mean, we could all complain about it, because that's also the interesting thing with Clay Holmes, is that he's also in the top five in the league in number of saves. So, I think I like Heel. I like the idea of putting Heel there. He'd probably be my top. I think with Clark Schmidt, I also don't hate that, but we also need a number two starter. I mean, the start that Rodon had the other day was brutal, and I don't trust him either. That's the problem. So, to me, would I rather see Clark Schmidt return as the guy before he was hurt? If he returns as that guy, I feel like he has to be a starter, and you've got to work Heel into the bullpen.
Well, Eric, think about it this way, too. So, and you're not wrong, and you lay it out well, right? So, if you're worried about the Yankee rotation and you're worried about the bullpen, isn't that the long way of saying that you thought Cashman should have done more? Because you're basically saying you're worried about everything pertaining to pitching. I don't love the rotation. I don't love the back of the bullpen. But yet, there was nothing done of significance. That's not acceptable.
In a year where Major League Baseball as a whole is down, meaning that they don't have a dominant team or two.
Yeah.
And there are numbers, and I was going to get to this later on, but I might as well bring them up now. I don't know if you saw this tweet last night from, I think it was Passan. Let me get this, BT, because if you didn't see this, it was, here we go. Jeff Passan of ESPN last night. It just solidifies everything that we've been feeling and makes a lot more sense. All right, Jeff Passan last night after the game, quote, "This is shaping up to be the weirdest baseball season in a decade. With 6 weeks left, here are the dozen best records in baseball." And it goes on, Phillies, Dodgers, Orioles, Guardians, Yanks, whatever. "The best run differentials, Yankees plus 116 is the number one."
Okay.
"The best team in baseball this year is on pace for 95 wins."
That's low.
Yeah. The last year without a 100-win team was 2014.
Okay.
Okay, so this is now confirming our inconsistencies, the weird vibe of the season. Mets all the way down, Mets come back up a little bit and get in contention. Yankees all the way up, Yankees play like the worst team in baseball for 7 weeks, but yet still have the best record. All these things are like, what the hell's going on here? But these now numbers are confirming it from Passan. Similarly, this is continued from Passan. "Last time the top run differential," get this one, "in baseball was less than plus 231 was 2014. Let me reiterate, the Yankees, currently the best run differential in baseball, plus 116. Passan says plus 231 the last time was 2014, going back 10 years. So it's obviously barely half that. Passan tags it, just saying all of which say, "A year after a 90-win wildcard team faced an 86-win wildcard team in the World Series, the 2024 championship looks as up for grabs as it's been in a long time." I mean, think about that.
That's an interesting tweet. There's a lot to. I followed you. I got it.
So the point is, like, yeah, we could look at the Yankee team and poke holes in it all we want, and we justifiably, and you could argue, well, yeah, in a year where everybody else is down, if the Yankees made the right moves or a couple of more moves, they should be way above everybody else, far and beyond the best team. Or I could argue for the Mets, well, if the Mets went more all in, they would have a better chance in a wide open year. But yet, here we are.
Well, that's where I was going. You actually beat me to it. Like, if we're sitting here saying, all right, it's a very flawed, very weird, wacky, basically encompassing 10 years, things are going down that really haven't gone down in a while, as Passan's tweet proves and confirms what we've already known, shouldn't that be, or I mean, it's too late now, but shouldn't that have been more of a license to go for it? Like, if you look around and you see opportunity, and you see, all right, the Phillies are a little flawed, and Baltimore's bullpen is this, and this team is that, and this team's banged up, and this team's not quite what we thought. I don't know. If I was running the show, I'd say, hey, this is where I'm taking my big swing.
It's why I said I would have gone in and gotten Blake Snell if I were the Mets. And then, oh, no, he wasn't available. You don't want to take on the money and give up prospects. Okay, good. Then sit on your, 40-year-plus losing streak as opposed to seeing the door wide open. Do I think the Mets are a legitimate World Series team? No, but neither is anybody else. And Jeff Passan confirms it with these stats. The issue with the Yankees to me is that, as I said before, their problems couldn't be fixed at the deadline. Plus, I don't know what was all in for them. Like, Tanner Scott to me wouldn't have been the guy. So who's the all-in guy? If you ask me what the Mets I could give you definitively, I thought their glaring weakness was they needed a top-end starter. Mm-hmm. Blake Snell was available. It would have cost you, but he was available. He could have been had for the right price. They chose to ignore that. I don't think Blake Snell would have been that difference maker for the Yankees, although I guess you could argue go get him.
Why wouldn't he be a difference maker? I mean, if he was behind Garrett, the way he's throwing the baseball now, behind Garrett Cole?
Right, because that's not their biggest weakness. Now, if you did that and say then move one of the starters to
boom. A closer. Okay, there you go. That gives you the window to do that.
Right. But I don't know if they were looking at that anyway. But
they called the Yankees. Yeah. They called the Yankees right before they turned it down.
I'm saying I don't think the Yankees are looking to move somebody to replace Holmes. I don't think.
I see what you're saying.
I think the Yankees felt Holmes was their best option, period, to be the closer, what was available at the trade deadline. If there was somebody better, maybe they would look to upgrade. But I believe Holmes was and is their best option to be closer.
Okay. Was that belief fueled by the fact that they actually think that Clay Holmes is the best pitching option? Or they didn't have the appetite to give up prospects or money or whatever.
But then who's the guy?
Well, I don't know.
I'm telling you, Tanner Scott was, by all accounts,
everybody
the best arm.
Yep.
But there's major flaws with him. And the lack
He's better than Clay Holmes.
Then that's the argument. So would you have then overpaid to get Tanner Scott, the best reliever on the market by most, if not all accounts, but also his weakness is accuracy or control.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then would you have gone more all in? I mean, some could say, yeah, you should have. Take your chance.
Yeah, and if my answer is no and it's not, then I'm contradicting myself here. This is the year to take the swing.
Right.
You got Judge, you got Soto, you got Cole in their primes. The circumstances are what they are. Yeah.
League wide open.
But they should have taken a swing. Right. A bigger one, no doubt. Let me get Bobby and Belmore, BT and Sal. Bobo, what's happening?
Yeah, hi, guys. Baltimore had the same situation with Kimball, and they dropped him from the start at the closer role, and they traded for Dominguez. The problem was the Yankees had no prospects like the Orioles did to get another reliever. So, that's on Cashman. Now, and just one quick thing on Raj. I know your producer said not to talk about it, but he's played 14 total plays in the preseason.
Rogers?
Hey, we're not talking Rogers.
Yeah, we're not doing Rogers now. We're not doing Rogers. I'm not trying to. Yeah, Bobby, but we're not doing Rogers now, Bobby.
Okay, let me stick to the Yankees then. I mean, in the postseason with Holmes, I mean, if he's going to continue to be their closer, there's going to be big problems. I mean, they could lose one game.
Conversation for the last hour and 20 minutes, Bob. Yeah. It is a problem, buddy. Yeah. Look at Zoo doing his job, though.
Producer said not to talk about it, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. No, you're not. We're not talking about Rogers today. There's a reason why Zoo said we're not talking about it. We'll get to it.
Eyes were just rolling into the back.
Oh, my God. Come on, Bobby. And Bobby's a longtime caller.
He is. We like Bobby. A very distinct voice, too.
Now, I'm trying to look up if Baltimore moved. Did they move Sir Anthony Dominguez into the closer's role and replace Kimbrel? I did not see that.
They did. They did.
When did they do that?
Well, they've been kind of working some guys into that role for about 3 weeks now. They took Kimbrel out right after the All-Star break.
According to the depth chart, it's still Craig Kimbrel, but I have not been watching the Orioles baseball. Look, we'll watch them tonight in the next couple of days as they play the Mets here.
Yeah, you'll see it close it tonight probably, out the Mets.
Well, put it this way. I wouldn't trust Kimbrel. I trust Clay Holmes more than I would Kimbrel. I can't stand Craig Kimbrel.
I probably would too.
Kimbrel is, I don't I care what the numbers too. Say, and I know he's blown fewer saves, but Kimbrel will walk you when he's throwing the fastball and it's straight. Guys will hammer that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pick your poison with those two, but I would trust Clay Holmes more than I would Kimbrel.
888-808-1019, BT and Sal. Well, we just mentioned that there. Obviously, the Mets, a tough series, starting with the Orioles and then the road trip. I mean, we are at the fork in the road for the Metsies. If they go left, they got to seize him. If they go right, it's over. There is nothing unclear about what they're staring at. Let's get into them coming up. And Nimmo's injury. BT and Sal on the Fan.
I also want to get into Daniel Jones at some point, BT, coming off that weekend. Not that we want to overreact to preseason football. But
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
21 of the last 22 times they scored. Here's Sims to throw on third down. Up the middle, touchdown, Bavaro. Mark the barrel, goes to one knee, genuflects in prayer, as a 13-yard throw over the middle answers the prayer for the Giants fans.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, yeah.
This is one of my favorite songs ever.
I love this band. I love this song. One of your favorites, huh?
Love it. Yes, absolutely.
This is good stuff right now. Call now. Call the number 10. Yeah, crank this up. Let me hear this a little bit. Come on, Sal. Let's get a little singing here, buddy.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Come on.
In my car, yes. I'm not going to do it on the radio. Not with this one.
These last to go. Anyway, 866-540-WFM. We're going to send you to watch a little STP. Stone Temple Pilots, your last shot to win a pair of tickets to see them.
Here
we go.
I mean, come on, it's such a great song. Have you ever seen them?
I have not seen them in concert, no.
Some of Jones Beach one.
These are the eyes of disarray.
Yeah. Yeah.
Love them, Sal. Let's go.
Oh, God, this is a great one. And
this is good.
As a matter of fact, I remember one time getting this album for Christmas years ago, and it came with the acoustic version of this song, Plush.
Really?
Which I love even more than the regular. They're both terrific.
All right.
This is probably top five all-time Sal song.
Top five?
This song, yes.
All right.
I like the band.
Right next to Who Let the Dogs Out, of course.
Yeah.
Woo! We'll get to the Mets in a sec. It's the Jubilee Tour, Sal, at PNC Bank Arts Center, which I passed like six times over the week and going out to LBI for baseball. Anyway, it's the Jubilee Tour at the center, Friday, September 6th, from our friends at Live Nation. To purchase tickets, visit LiveNation.com. And again, tomorrow, right here, BT and Sal, another chance to win real fast before we get to the Mets road trip. And obviously get back to the phones here, 888-808-1019. The acoustic stuff, yeah, I feel, I could be wrong, I feel like Nirvana was one of the first to really jump into that. I remember seeing
MTV Unplugged.
Yes, that's where I was going. Yeah. MTV, Kurt Cobain when he was still alive. I don't know, maybe I'm less of a musical fan than I thought, but I don't prefer the acoustical versions myself.
What the hell's the name of the, there might be another song, I forget the
Nirvana
name.
Nirvana or STP?
Nirvana, I love that album. I remember watching that. I mean, that was in my heyday watching MTV.
Polly Wants a Cracker.
Yeah, and then the album Nirvana Unplugged, that is actually a great album. Back then we had the CDs, whatever. The Plush acoustic version, and I want to say Drive by Incubus. Is that the name of the song also?
That'll Drive by R.E.M.
Zoo, look that up. I believe it was Incubus.
Okay.
Has a song called Drive, I want to say, that it was acoustic as well. And those would be probably the two or three. Because normally you're right. Like, I don't even like going to a concert. It is Drive, Incubus, Drive. Yeah, acoustic.
There you go.
So I would go Incubus, Drive, Plush, STP, and then the Nirvana album are my favorite acoustics. Otherwise, maybe Eric Clapton has one in there as well.
You know what? It's interesting you say Eric Clapton. Clapton's one that kind of, for me, transcends the lack of love for the acoustic stuff. He's a little different.
Right, but yeah, okay. So you don't have any other favorites, acoustic version?
I'm just not a big acoustic, I don't know.
Are you a big concert guy or no?
You know, it's funny. The answer is probably no, that's the short version. But if you actually look at the concert list, and it's not incredibly long. I mean, I've seen some doozies, man. I saw Elton John and Billy Joel in the mid-90s at the old Giant Stadium.
Okay.
I saw the Eagles.
They did a concert together?
They did.
Wow.
They did. I didn't really love Elton John at that point, but it was great. I saw the Eagles with my wife and her family in Dallas over where the Mavericks play. I saw the Rolling Stones 40 Licks Tour back in when they opened up Ford Field, which was the first event ever at Ford Field where the Lions play. I saw Eminem. Like, I've seen some.
Did you see Eminem in Detroit?
In Detroit. I saw Guns N' Roses.
Now I'm jealous.
Yeah, I was sick.
Keep your Rolling Stones or Guns N' Roses or UB40 or whatever else
UB4?
You saw.
What? UB40? No.
UB40?
What, maybe. Red Wine? What?
I'm sorry. I thought I heard of UB40. Eminem, I've seen him plenty, but I've never seen him in Detroit.
In Detroit.
That's
in
what
Detroit.
Makes it special. That's cool.
A little GNR.
Where was that?
GNR was in Detroit.
Okay.
Roger Waters, The Wall in San Francisco. I mean, I've probably been to about 12.
Where's Roger Waters?
Pink Floyd.
Okay,
he's the lead singer for Pink Floyd.
All right.
It's not a long list, but it's a pretty good list.
And they don't do acoustic versions at concerts?
Not that I've ever heard.
Okay.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I got a question for you, Sal.
Yeah.
So right now, the Mets are two games behind the Atlanta Braves.
Same as where we left on Friday.
Correct. No blood. Two games in front of the San Francisco Giants. Mm-hmm. When this banger of a stretch is over for your Mets, will they be closer to the Braves or further behind the Giants?
I don't think the Giants are going to catch the Mets. I think the Mets will probably be similar to where they're at right now. I think the Mets are better. And again, you know, I'm not watching the Giants every night, but I'm going based off of the scores and some stuff that you see and what we thought it could be preseason. I think the Mets are better than everybody else that's behind them, but I'm not certain that they're as good as... Well, I know they're not as good as the teams in front of them, but the question is, in a year where the Braves have been vulnerable, at least to a certain extent this year, can the Mets ratchet it up a notch to catch Atlanta? I think the Diamondbacks and Padres are gone. I think Atlanta's the one team. But here's the problem, BT. Mm-hmm. We sat here last Monday, I believe, and talked about, yeah, because they were coming off the road trip last Monday. And we said, all right, I'm not worried about the 4-6 road trip. This team will respond. They've responded all year. I was a little more worried about the Braves and how well that they played. But the Braves are going to take on the Giants for four games,
yep,
and then the Angels. And the Mets are taking on the A's and the Marlins. And I said, the Mets need to be in front of Atlanta, and I expect them to be in front of Atlanta after this week. And they're not. They're still in the same spot. Yep. So when the Mets play the A's and Marlins at home, and the Braves take on the Giants and Angels on the road, and the Mets don't gain any ground, hard to say that at the end of this road trip,
yep,
the Mets are going to gain ground on the Braves. But I don't think that they're going to falter to where the Giants or anybody else behind them catches them.
I think they could. I really do. I mean, it's like the Mets went 1-5 against the A's and the Marlins, but 3-3 is just, it's not good enough.
Should
at this
have been
point.
4-2. They blew that game yesterday. When are they going to realize that Reed Garrett isn't it? Goodness! I mean, Reed Garrett has been a horrible reliever his entire life. This year, because he starts out the year as an all-star and he's pitching well for a little bit, it's like, oh, Reed Garrett. He stinks! He can't throw a strike! Enough of Reed Garrett! My God! Why can't they realize that? You want to take a chance on somebody else or get beat with other guys? Fine. I'm so sick and tired of them relying on Reed Garrett to be a high-leverage guy. He's not. All due respect, I'm not trying to pick on the guy, but come on. Look at his career.
All
due respect, his ERA is what? Career ERA is a 6. And they're putting him in a one-run game or a tie game. And the guy can't throw a strike.
Does he deserve respect with that ERA?
Good God. I'm yelling from the Cadillac Club.
Who are you kidding? All due respect. Who is this guy sitting next to me? It's just baseball.
Yeah, he shouldn't be a major leaguer. I'm yelling from the Cadillac Club.
Here we go. Now he's coming back.
Throw a strike! Throw a strike! What's the worst that they could do? You're already... I can't stand the free passes. It's going to kill you. And it has with the match. Just throw a strike, for goodness sake.
We do this all the time, and we like to take these little increments. I'm going to do it again now with your Mets. All right, so...
Yeah.
Tonight, no off day. Nothing to regenerate from. Right back to it. Here goes Baltimore at City. And then it's 4 at San Diego. God. Mm-hmm. And then it's 3 at Arizona.
Okay.
So it's 10. 3 with the Orioles, 4 with the Pods, 3 with the Diamondbacks. What do you think they will do, and what do you think, bare minimally, they need to do? I can go first if you want to cut up the numbers here.
I got it.
Okay.
I think they're going to go 5-5.
All right, you think they're going to go 5-5, and what's the bare minimum acceptance for them to stay afloat here?
Well, I think 5-5 will keep them afloat.
Same answer?
I probably think 4-6 will keep them afloat.
Okay.
Now, what they need to do if they want to be in the playoffs, you got to probably go 6-4.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, yep. At some point, you can't just be, oh, yeah, well, we'll take 5-5, tread water when you're behind. If they were up, okay, let's say the Mets were 2 games up of the Braves right now. You go 5-5, and maybe you lose some ground, you take it. You'd be even at the end of this.
Well, and they would have been if they would have handled the A's and the Marlins better. That's the problem here. Now you don't have a lot of room.
Do you know the number one thing that bothers me about the Mets this season?
That they're not that good?
Wasted opportunity. No, because I don't think anybody else is either. If the Mets were somewhat competent over the last month, they would be battling for the division lead right now. The Phillies are trying to give the NL East away. They're begging and pleading for somebody to come take it. Not even the Braves can take it. They had it to within 5 games. They're back to 7. The Mets were looking at it, could get it to 6. If they were just playing competent baseball here, they'd have that thing down to 4 or 5, you know, 4 or 5 games.
I understand that, and I really do. Like, the Mets have been fighting this year, and I respect that. I truly do. There's no punchline coming, but... Don't you think part of the reason why the Mets haven't been able to take advantage of the Phillies' tripping all over themselves.
Yeah,
because the Mets just aren't good enough.
Yeah, understood. But they could have done other things to be even better. But whatever. Okay, they didn't do that. That's fine. Yeah, but that's a frustrating thing. So your point was what? That you don't.
Well, I was just curious what you thought, because we did this with the previous ten games. Like what you, when they went out to Colorado, what you think that they'll do, and what you would deem unacceptable in terms of these 10 games here. See,
I think unacceptable is anything less
3-7
Yeah, anything less than 4-6 is like 4-6 is pushing it.
Uh-huh.
The only reason why you get lenient is because you know you take it on the Padres and Diamondbacks. But still, you want to be a playoff team. Those are playoff teams. Like there's not going to be any backing in. As down as baseball may be overall, you're not going to be able to back into the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, not in the National League. I mean, I haven't paid that much attention to the American League as far as the wild card goes because the bottom feeders don't matter. The Yankees are going to get top spot if not the division. So, but there's not going to be any backing in. I don't even think they could be backing into the postseason in the American League. You're going to have to earn your spot this year. May not be top heavy, but the medium teams are good enough to where you're not going to get a bad team in. You may get an average team in, or you know, 500 team in. You're not going to get a bad team in the postseason, so the Mets are going to have to earn it. So 4-6, 5-5, that's treading water. It's not just not good enough.
You know, listen, now I know that it wouldn't sound this way on the station. Like, just say the Mets go 2-8, and I don't even think they'll. I don't even think they'll do that.
Ooh.
I think 3-7 or 4-6. I think they'll be under 500 here, but I don't think they're going 2-8. They're not going 1-9, not losing 10 straight. But like, if they went 2-8, this station will be on fire. Met fans will be out of their minds. All the hosts who love the Mets will be.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that then that would be it. I think that Met fans would concede it's over. We stink.
Well, yes.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Knowing that it's over, I don't think it would bother me that much just because it's like, all right, well, whatever. They gave it a valiant effort. It is what it is. They ran out of gas. They just eventually.
I'm going to hold you to this based on the optics. If they were to go 2-8, like if they're blowing leads, I'm not saying that you would go, but I think like a lot of the people who believe the Mets still are good enough to do something, I think that resignation would come across.
Right.
And when you resign,
2-8, if they go 2-8, it's over.
Well, here's the thing. I'm going to actually pay deposit. Now, let me just finish that first thought though. When you start to subscribe to resignation, it comes out, depending upon your personality, it can either be very, like, accepting, like, you know, hey, what are you going to do? I mean, we really weren't built to it. Or you could just turn to a nutball. So that's why I say this. Would be nuts. WFN would be nuts. But even if you did go 2-8, you know you have on the end of that road trip?
What?
You got the White Sox. And if you sweep the, I know the Yankees didn't sweep the White Sox, but if you sweep the White Sox, I don't know that the damage would be irreparable to a 2-8. It would look horrible. It would feel horrible in real time. But if you win 3 straight, like, I think that the Mets are still hanging around the last week of the season. The problem is they haven't shown us lately that they are really good enough to beat good teams, and they're not handling the bad teams the way they should lately. So that's why I think they fall short.
And even if it's a game they give away in Anaheim, a game they give away at home against the A's or the Marlins, those games, and now you start to add up, now it's not just a game, it's 3 games, they make all the difference of the world here. If you were to ask me the one thing that I want, and by the way, so if you throw in those White Sox games, you know, the Mets go 8-5 over the next 13, you'd take that. But anyway, the one thing that I want is for the Mets to be within striking distance, let's say 2 games or fewer, or ahead, fine, but I need the Mets to be within striking distance of Atlanta going in those final 6 games of the year.
Yep.
I want revenge on 2022. I know it's not the same as the division, but still, knocking them out of the postseason, knocking Atlanta out of the postseason, would at least make me feel a little bit better and get some revenge on that.
I get it.
So I want the Mets within striking distance, meaning 2 games or fewer, to the final 6 games of the year, 3 at Atlanta, 3 at Milwaukee.
Understood.
That's all that I want.
I don't blame you. I mean, you want a little blood here. The crazy thing, though, is like you think about the 2020, you said it's not the same team, and you're right, but the 2024 Mets, think about who pitched down there. It was Bassett, I believe, the last game.
Yeah.
Chris Bassett definitely pitched a game. DeGrom and Scherzer.
Yeah,
they're all gone.
Yeah, I know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, right. It's a little different team. Manager's not here anymore. Still the same core.
As we've discussed 1,010,000 times.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT is now back on the Fan. We're getting back to these calls. 888-808-1019. We'll hit you with the crown coming up at noon. Top story of the day, Daniel Jones. We'll do his performance and you know, maybe what it means moving forward for this season coming up at 12:20. Right now, we get back to you, whether it's the Yankee stuff, Met fans, I know you wanted to jump in as well. Let me get Chris up in the Bronx. What's happening, Chris?
Afternoon, guys. Thanks for getting me on.
You got it, Chris.
Just two things. I wanted to see, I don't know if you talked about it. I was outside of the car for a little bit. You talked about Dominguez's night last night. And
no,
also,
no.
Clay Holmes, listen, you know, trade deadline's done. Brian Cashman did what he was going to do. He brought two relievers in here. One's already out the door, and Mark Leiter's kind of becoming what he was. You know, he was hot. You know, I guess he had a couple of few games when he first got here, but, you know, he's becoming what he is.
Yep.
But Clay Holmes is not it. You know, when we get into the postseason, he'll get us to the postseason barely, but we got to start working out. You know, they said Cashman held on to some young pitching prospects. Get them up. See what we have. We just need somebody who's going to get it past the batter. You know, against good teams in the postseason, pitching a contact is not going to work. It's almost guaranteed if there's a man on second, that guy's going to move to third, and then that guy's going to score on two outs. You know, Clay Holmes is going to pitch.
Yeah, there's no I'm sure you know there's no ghost runner in October. But no, I get you. Like, when you have a propensity to lose the strike zone, as he does, and then, you know, you get victimized by a little nine-hop bleeder or a little bloop. It's for two guys on. And two guys on means problems. Sal, let me ask you. Thanks for the call. Sal, let me ask you this. When I say to you, I'm just thinking about the biggest. I'm not going to go through everything because it'll take forever. But starting pitching, bullpen, lineup, and defense. Those are the four major components of any team.
Mm-hmm.
In order of confidence, meaning best to worst, how would you rank those for the Yankees? Starting pitching, bullpen.
That's a tough question.
I know. Lineup and defense.
Because I have similar confidence in all of them, and it's not great. Like, if I were grading on a scale of 1 to 10 confidence level, and you asked me about the starting rotation, I'd probably say, I'll go 7 because of Gerrit Cole and starting to look good.
Yeah.
If you ask me about the lineup, probably say it's hard to say less than that, but I'm going to just because I still don't trust it overall. Behind, you know, Judge and Soto take it to a 10, everybody else brings it down to a 4, so it's probably somewhere in the middle. I'm gonna go 6 with confidence in the lineup, and I think that that's gonna be the issue for the Yankees ultimately. Bullpen, probably a 6, but like it's not, I know we think that it's bad, it's not that bad in comparison to the others, so I'd probably say, you know, around 5 or 6 for the bullpen.
What about defense?
Defense.
That's fine. It's all right.
Yeah, maybe a 7. Like, I'm not overly concerned about it. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I got you.
So I'm kind of right there. So, and I think that they're also, I guess I have the most confidence in the starting rotation because of Cole, Clark Schmidt coming back, the potential of Rodon, even though I don't trust him.
Mm-hmm. Clark,
The general stability of Marcus Stroman. Like, I think you can pretty much pencil in Stroman for a solid effort. And then Luis Gil. I like Luis Gil a lot. And assuming that he stays like this, I'm more confident. And I think it speaks more to the lack of lineup trust that I have, that I trust the lineup more. Where are you at with that?
I think that's a pretty good rundown. I look at it this way, just, you know, dumb it down. Like, hey, do the Yankees starting pitchers give the Yankees a chance to win? But the answer is pretty much yeah.
Right.
I mean, outside of Rodon's dub the other day.
But even so.
Yeah.
And that's what he is. He's going to be inconsistent. Suck it up. Like, he may have a game, round one, lights out. Round two, he may get lit up. It's lights out or lit up for Rodon.
Yeah, but there's very few games where you look up, it's like, oh, God, Yanks are losing 7-1 in the third inning. What the hell is it? Like, generally, the pitchers give them a chance to compete. So I'm with you. That I'd say the starting pitching is 1, the lineup because of the two beasts is 2 or 1A. And then I think bullpen's last.
Right. Yeah.
Penn's last.
Yeah, probably. But even that, I don't know if that's going to be. Now, look, bullpen's in the postseason.
Still matter.
You're gonna need it. Yeah, it matters immensely. Those are going to be the two biggest issues. I don't think starting pitching is going to be the problem for the Yankees or the reason why they don't win the World Series. I don't think defense will. I think it's going to be because the lack of depth or clutch hitting from the Yankees lineup in general, including Judge potentially. Anybody outside of Soto, I don't trust yet in the postseason. I need to see it. That plus the bullpen.
Let me get Dino, who's up in the Bronx. What's going on, Dino? BT and Sal, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay.
Good.
That's good. Yeah, listen, I'm here to talk about the Mets, but you got nothing to worry about with the Yankees. You got Juan Soto, that's it. The Red Sox, listen, the Red Sox will take care of the Yankees. Don't worry about them.
Hmm?
They can't even beat the Red Sox. Don't worry about the Astros. Listen, the Mets.
What?
We just got to keep believing. All right? You got to keep believing because at the end of the day, you can only win the games you have ahead of you. You're not going to win all of them, but you got to win some.
Yeah, but why would you have faith? Wait, whoa, whoa. Why would you have faith that they're going to win the games that are in front of you when they can't win the games that they've already played?
Because we've been playing good this whole season, and that's what you do as a Mets fan. You got to believe. No. That's why we're here. Don't get me started in the yelling. No. You're probably a Yankee fan. No. You got to sit there and you believe in this team. You believe in this team so that they get to the playoffs. Because then what happens
Dino,
in the
you
playoffs?
Can believe whatever you want. You can believe whatever you want. I live in reality, okay? I live in reality.
Yeah, and the reality is we're doing okay. We're doing better than okay. That's the reality. And so is everybody else in the National League. Everybody else in the National League is doing just okay.
Well, but Dino, hold on a sec. Dino, hold on. Let's see if that reality, and it might, but let's see if that reality applies when you guys finish up this 10-game stretch. That's the point of the conversation.
Oh, we're going to see. We're going to see.
Okay.
We're going to see when it's all
said and
done.
4-6? What are we going to see? We're not seeing 8-2.
Dino, hold on. Ooh, see, here's the thing. I respect your fandom, but you're talking from a fan's perspective, which is fine. We have to be realistic here. Like, they're not doing as well as everybody else in the National League. Factually correct. Whether you believe what you want to believe or not, I'll give you the facts for a second just so it's not misinterpreted. The Philadelphia Phillies, as lousy as they have been at times this year, are 9 games better than the Mets. 9 games. So that's not the Mets playing as well as everybody else. The Atlanta Braves, as bad as they have been this year and as down as they have been and beat up, they're still 2 games in front of the Mets this year. The Padres are better. The Diamondbacks are better. Now, not everybody's better. That's why the Mets have a chance. But you got to be realistic. Where's that belief? Where'd that belief get you in 2022? Where has that belief gotten you from 1986? And where has that belief gotten you from 1969 on? How often has your belief in the New York Mets, however old you may be, your belief, you got to believe. You got to believe. Well, how often has that belief gotten you to where you believe and hope that they would go since 1969?
I think it worked in 73.
Yeah, even
almost.
Then.
I mean, at least you got there.
Right. That belief has gotten you to how many World Series? 73, loss. 86, okay, they win. 2000, loss. 2015, loss. 2000. I mean, that's it. How many consecutive postseason appearances has that belief? You got to believe, Sal. You got to believe. How many postseason appearances in consecutive years for this franchise that was born in 1962?
Hold on, let me get the calculator.
Yeah.
1, 2.
Yeah, thank you. So believe what? Come on, man. I respect your fandom, but you can't come on. You got to at least be realistic to a certain extent and give some facts.
I like this passion, but it was a good call. There
you go. Me too.
I mean, a little nutty, a little bit delusional, but yeah, we're going to see. We're going to see 4-6. Come back and check in when you lose 6 out of 10. We're going to see.
Well, look, you might see the Mets end up in the postseason. The good thing is they're there, and that would be the argument. BT, you and I had this exact conversation last week. The reasons why I believe in this team, is because they've shown the ability to bounce back this year. 0-5 start, nobody counted them in, nobody thought they'd do anything. 11 games under 500. To be able to dig out of that hole, 11 games under, where we all left them for dead and buried in May.
Character, no doubt.
So that shows something. So because they've earned that, I'm not going to bury them. But in my heart of hearts, and deep in my gut, do I believe that what I'm seeing is a playoff team? I don't. They're going to have to earn that. They're going to have to prove that. I'm not giving up on them. I think they're going to be in it till the end. I need to see them go head-to-head with Atlanta and beat the Braves for that playoff spot.
All right. BT and Sal on the fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. 888-808-1019 is our number. We'll come back, hit you with the crown, get back to the calls. The crown is the top story of the day. And then right around 1220, Daniel Jones. Just rusty or just Daniel Jones. BT and Sal on the fan.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start some trouble and call the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, BT is now back on the fan. We're getting back to these calls. 888-808-1019. We'll hit you with the crown coming up at noon. Top story of the day. Daniel Jones will do his performance and, you know, maybe what it means moving forward for this season coming up at 1220. Right now, we get back to you, whether it's the Yankee stuff. Met fans, I know you wanted to jump in as well. Let me get Chris up in the Bronx. What's happening, Chris?
Afternoon, guys. Thanks for getting me on.
You got it, Chris.
Just two things. Wanted to see, I don't know if you talked about it. I was outside the car for a little bit. If you talked about Dominguez's night last night. And Clay Holmes. You know, trade deadline's done. Brian Cashman did what he was going to do. He brought two relievers in here. One's already out the door, and Mark Leiter's kind of becoming what he was. You know, he was hot. You know, I guess he had a couple of few games when he first got here, but, you know, he's becoming what he is. Yeah. But Clay Holmes is not it. You know, when we get into the postseason, he'll get us to the postseason barely. But we got to start working out. You know, they said Cashman held on to some young pitching prospects. Get them up. See what we have. We just need somebody who's going to get it past the batter. You know, against good teams in the postseason, pitching a contact is not going to work. It's almost guaranteed if there's a man on second, that guy's going to move to third, and then that guy's going to score on two outs. You know, Clay Holmes is going to pitch.
Yeah, there's no I'm sure you know there's no ghost runner in October. But no, I get you. Like, when you have a propensity to lose the strike zone, as he does, and then, you know, you get victimized by a little nine hop bleeder or a little bloop. It's for two guys on. And two guys on means problems. Sal, let me ask you. Thanks for the call. Sal, let me ask you this. When I say to you, I'm just thinking about the biggest guy. I'm not going to go through everything because it would take forever. But starting pitching, bullpen, lineup, and defense. Those are the four major components of any team. In order of confidence, meaning best to worst. How would you rank those for the Yankees? Starting pitching, bullpen.
That's a tough question.
I know. Lineup and defense.
Because I have similar confidence in all of them, and it's not great. Like, if I were grading on a scale of 1 to 10 confidence level, and you asked me about the starting rotation, I'd probably say, I'll go 7 because of Gerrit Cole and starting to look good.
Yeah.
If you asked me about the lineup, I'd probably say it's hard to say less than that, but I'm going to just because I still don't trust it overall behind. You know, Judge and Soto take it to a 10. Everybody else brings it down to a 4. So it's probably somewhere in the middle. I'm going to go 6 with confidence in the lineup, and I think that that's going to be the issue for the Yankees ultimately. Bullpen, probably a 6. 5. Like, it's not, I know we think that it's bad. It's not that bad in comparison to the others, so I'd probably say, you know, around 5 or 6 for the bullpen.
What about defense?
Defense.
That's fine. All right.
Yeah, maybe a 7. Like, I'm not overly concerned about it. It's fine.
Yeah, no, I got you.
So I'm kind of right there. So, and I think that they're also, I guess I have the most confidence in the starting rotation because of Cole, Clark Schmidt coming back, the potential of Rodon, even though I don't trust him.
Clark, yep.
The general stability of Marcus Stroman. Like, I think you can pretty much pencil in Stroman for a solid effort. And then Luis Gil. I like Luis Gil a lot. And assuming that he stays like this, I'm more confident. And I think it speaks more to the lack of lineup trust that I have, that I trust the lineup more. Where are you at with that?
I think that's a pretty good rundown. I look at it this way, just, you know, dumb it down. Like, hey, do the Yankees starting pitchers give the Yankees a chance to win? But the answer is pretty much yeah.
Right.
I mean, outside of Rodon's dub the other day.
But even so.
Yeah.
And that's what he is. He's going to be inconsistent. Suck it up. Like, he may have a game, get round one, lights out. Round two, he may get lit up. It's lights out or lit up for Rodon.
Yeah, but there's very few games where you look up, it's like, oh, God, Yanks are losing 7-1 in the third inning. What the hell is it? Like, generally, the pitchers give them a chance to compete. So I'm with you. That I'd say the starting pitching is 1, the lineup because of the two beasts is 2 or 1A. And then I think bullpen's last.
Right. Yeah.
Penn's last.
Yeah, probably. But even that, I don't know if that's going to be. Now, look, bullpen's in the postseason.
Matter.
You're gonna need it. Yeah, it matters immensely. Those are going to be the two biggest issues. I don't think starting pitching is going to be the problem for the Yankees or the reason why they don't win the World Series. I don't think defense will. I think it's going to be because the lack of depth or clutch hitting from the Yankees lineup in general, including Judge potentially. Anybody outside of Soto, I don't trust yet in the postseason. I need to see it. That plus the bullpen.
Let me get Dino, who's up in the Bronx. What's going on, Dino? BT and Sal, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you guys?
Okay.
Good.
That's good. Yeah, listen.
I'm here to talk about the Mets, but you got nothing to worry about with the Yankees. You got Juan Soto, that's it. The Red Sox, listen, the Red Sox will take care of the Yankees. Don't worry about them. They can't even beat the Red Sox. Don't worry about the Astros. Listen, the Mets. We just got to keep believing, all right? You got to keep believing because at the end of the day, you can only win the games you have ahead of you. You're not going to win all of them, but you got to win some.
Yeah, but why would you have faith? Wait, whoa, whoa. Why would you have faith that they're going to win the games that are in front of you when they can't win the games that they've already played?
Because we've been playing good this whole season, and that's what you do as a Mets fan. You got to believe.
No.
That's why we're here. Don't get me started in the yelling. You're probably a Yankee fan.
No.
You got to sit there and you believe in this team. You believe in this team so that they get to the playoffs. Because then what happens
Dino,
in the
you
playoffs?
Can believe whatever you want.
Story.
You can believe whatever you want. I live in reality, okay? I live in reality.
Yeah, and the reality is we're doing okay. We're doing better than okay. That's the reality. And so is everybody else in the National League. Everybody else in the National League is doing just okay.
Well, but Dino, hold on a sec. Dino, hold on. Let's see if that reality, and it might, but let's see if that reality applies when you guys finish up this 10-game stretch. That's the point of the conversation.
Oh, we're going to see. We're going to see.
Okay.
We're going to see when it's all said and done.
We'll see what? 4-6? What are we going to see? We're not seeing 8-2.
Dino, hold on. Here's the thing. I respect your fandom, but you're talking from a fan's perspective, which is fine. We have to be realistic here. Like, they're not doing as well as everybody else in the National League. Factually correct. Whether you believe what you want to believe or not, I'll give you the facts for a second just so it's not misinterpreted. The Philadelphia Phillies, as lousy as they have been at times this year, are 9 games better than the Mets. 9 games. So that's not the Mets playing as well as everybody else. The Atlanta Braves, as bad as they have been this year and as down as they have been and beat up, they're still 2 games in front of the Mets this year. The Padres are better. The Diamondbacks are better. Now, not everybody's better. That's why the Mets have a chance. But you got to be realistic. Where'd that belief get you in 2022? Where has that belief gotten you from 1986? And where has that belief gotten you from 1969 on? How often has your belief in the New York Mets, however old you may be, your belief, you gotta believe. Well, how often has that belief gotten you to where you believe and hope that they would go since 1969?
I think it worked in 73.
Yeah,
almost.
Even then.
I mean, at least you got there.
Right. That belief has gotten you to how many World Series? 73, loss. 86, okay, they win. 2000, loss. 2015, loss. 2000. I mean, that's it. How many consecutive postseason appearances has that belief? You got to believe, Sal. You got to believe. How many postseason appearances in consecutive years for this franchise that was born in 1962?
Hold on, let me get the calculator.
Yeah.
1, 2.
Yeah, thank you. So believe what? Come on, man.
Man,
I respect your fandom, but you can't come on. You got to at least be realistic to a certain extent and give some facts.
I like this passion, but it was a good call.
Me too.
I mean, a little nutty, a little bit delusional, but yeah, we're going to see. We'll see 4-6. Come back and check in when you lose 6 out of 10. We're going to see.
Well, look, you might see the Mets end up in the postseason. The good thing is they're there, and that would be the argument. BT, you and I had this exact conversation last week. The reasons why I believe in this team, is because they've shown the ability to bounce back this year. 0-5 start, nobody counted them in, nobody thought they'd do it. 11 games under 500. To be able to dig out of that hole, 11 games under, where we all left them for dead and buried in May.
Character, no doubt.
So that shows something. So because they've earned that, I'm not going to bury them. But do I, in my heart of hearts, and deep in my gut, do I believe that what I'm seeing is a playoff team? I don't. They're going to have to earn that. They're going to have to prove that. I'm not giving up on them. I think they're going to be in it till the end. I need to see them go head-to-head with Atlanta and beat the Braves for that playoff spot.
All right. BT and Sal on the fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. 888-808-1019 is our number. We'll come back, hit you with the crown, get back to the calls. The crown is the top story of the day. And then right around 1220, Daniel Jones. Just rusty or just Daniel Jones. BT and Sal on the fan.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.